It would make it easier. And Jesus said, I already wrote about mine. See if mine helps you any. I walked the road alone. My friends forsook me. They spit in my face. They put a crown on my head. But I saw you when you was going through your valley. And I decided I'd rather stay on the cross so I could get to you when you went through yours. And he did. And he did. Now I want to go back to this point to make you understand what I'm trying to clarify in your thoughts. For God to show himself what heaven is like, he's got to have somebody to demonstrate it with. For us to know what God would do about a man like Job, he had to have a Job. Now I see, Lord, what heaven is like. Heaven is like this. It's filled with men and women that have patience to endure to the end. And the church ought to have people that can endure to the end. Praise him right quick. Amen. God revealed himself to Job after the test. God gave visions to Ezekiel. He's down by the river Chebar among the prisoners and the people that dispersed from Jerusalem, captured by the Babylon. And he said, while I was down there in the river bottoms and they was making canals for old Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I saw the heavens open. Don't you wait for some glorious little big demonstration like around here to see all of this. You might be home digging a ditch somewhere. You might be in the hardest part of your labor of your life. You may be in the darkest hour of your moment. That's a good time for the heavens to start open up to you and reveal to you that God will never leave you, nor will we forsake you. Oh, start looking for him in the nighttime. Have you got a song to sing in the night? There's a beauty of learning about him in the most difficult hours. It's glorious with everybody around me shouting. Everybody supporting me. Everybody exalting. But let me tell you something. When you get a touch of a word from the Lord, it'll change your night to a daytime. I will not have time to go through some cases that you folks would know about, but I believe that there's a word that comes from the Lord for your needs. Understand this. Until he gives you that word, you don't have faith. I can take the Bible and try to memorize it, but I got to have a word that comes from the Lord. Somewhere got to be a word from the Lord. I've asked God at times, dear Lord, I've gone through some difficult things with our families and our children in this last year. Cancer, backsliders, and all of that. But I saw some folks still there. Their hands are still in the air. They said, blessed be the name of the Lord. You gave and you took away. But I still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He never leaves me, never forsakes me. He's a kind God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's my Lord, my King of glory. Love him together. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, how great thou art! Hallelujah. Please, don't count what we say as standards. I don't want to use the word. I know it's scriptural. It's okay. But what I do to him is my devotions to God. I'm not doing what I'm doing because of a rule in the church. I'm doing what I'm doing. Whether you want to do it or not, I want to tell him I love him. I love him. Everything about us ought to be because we love him. Don't tell them that my church won't let me do it. That's wrong. That's not right. Don't tell them my pastor won't let me do it. That's not right. Now, everybody has their ministry. And I may wake up one day and realize I didn't do anything right. But I just cannot. I just can't do it this way. I can't force people to do it. I just can't make it that way. I examined Jesus, and he, if anybody could have, he could have. Man, he could have yanked their tongue out and they'd quit talking. But I can't do that. I mean, he can cut them down, but I can't do that. I mean, he can send them off to Siberia. I can't do that. He leaves me with only one weapon. And that weapon is love. That's all I got. You see, God... If I was you, he said, that's why you're not me. Dear God, can't you do something? He said, I am doing things. I mean, You know, when are you going to get even with this fella? He said, you'll never see it. You'll never see it. I'll take care of it. You'll never see it. God will never whip his children in front of his family. Well, come on. I never could believe that God wanted to go out here and punish everybody in front of everybody. Now I'm going to scare you with this one. Do what you want. I live long enough. I've got much longer to live anyhow, so forget it. I don't bench people on the front seat. Do what you want. I can't do it that way. Friend, if you don't have it in your spirit and your heart, after I've corrected you and rebuked you and done what I can, I'm here to tell you, you won't make it. Because I can't put you there. You know why I can't put you there? Because I'm not God. Only God can punish. Only God can punish. No siree. You can't hit with 10 lashes. That won't do it. You can't embarrass them and put them down. That won't do it. I'm here to tell you, you've got to love every human being that there is. The one's easy, the one that's hard, the one that's weak, the one that's tall, the one that's short, the one that's rich, the one that's poor. But it takes a lot of Holy Ghost to get the job done. But there's one thing for sure. If you stop and turn around and get in love with Him, you can love like He loved. Love Him one more time on this. Help us, Lord. Now let me put my thoughts together. Boy, I tell you, it's hard to hold your thoughts and preach too. Do you realize there are certain things the devil is out to do to contaminate this church? I mean, he's making a business of it. And I begin to observe in the Scripture that certain things that took place in the past, the devil did. And he doesn't change. He does the same thing over and over again. If we only had any sense, he wouldn't do that to us. But that's what he does. In before, I guess, there was a foundation for this life that we have here for us, for Adam, there must have been something going on in heaven. And it said that there was one of his beautiful creatures. His name was Lucifer. And he was evidently, from what we understand, a choir director in heaven. He led in music and worship. He was profound in beauty. I mean, none like him. He had the ways that pleased. And he was so persuasive that every one of his choir members fell for him. Wow. Perfect. Not a blemish. His motions and movements and harmony unsurpassed. I can imagine the choir that was singing at that time in the heavens. It must have rang with the glories of the most beautiful music that could ever be created. It was superb. And of course, when Lucifer began to see that, and here's where our problems come in. I don't know how much of the flesh I've got that will bother me, but please come to see me. Knock the fire out of me. Wake my head up. Make me mad, but please don't let me be lost. If I get my head turned around and starts thinking I'm something that I'm not, I hope somebody comes. And if you don't, I hope my enemy gets there. Because he don't mind telling me. Lucifer, with all the array of the finery and the harmony and the music that you could be impressed with, there came a day, iniquity. It didn't come suddenly. He began to say, oh my, I must be beautiful. I must be wise. I must be. That's why you got to be careful when people introduce you. They'll say all sorts of things, get carried away. You can't believe all of that. It'll hurt you. But there's some folks that say all manner of evil against you. Don't believe that either. Just say, Lord, somewhere in between, you tell me what you think. There is a danger when we're on stage so much. There is a danger being in position so much. You ought to pray for the ministry. We need God to help us. We see all of these people in the world that say they're preachers that are falling into sin, immorality, and evil. We don't want to gloat over that. Dear Lord, save us from ourselves. Save us from our flesh. Save us from our lust. Save us from this world. We've got to be clean to be saved. And the devil wants to infiltrate this church. And so what he tries to do is to subvert it, undermine it. And the Lord finally said, that's enough of that. Gabriel, you and Michael come here. He said that, you know, I gave you fellows a job. Third over here and a third here and a third here. You know, I just wonder why Alexander divided his up in threes. When he got through conquering the world, he gave it to his three big generals. The devil thinks there still ought to be three in heaven. Instead of Alexander the Great, as he finished his campaigns, he found a wise man somewhere in some cave, someplace, they say. And he went to the wise man that's supposed to know so much. He said, now I have conquered the world. What can I do now? He said, go in that cave and conquer yourself. As long as we're hustling and going and doing and building and big, bigger, big, up, 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 we think that's righteousness. Amen. We interpret that, I am accepted. When God gets to heaven, He is going to check us out how big we were, how small we were. He's going to check us out of who we were. What we were. Well, praise the Lord. Now, lest I be misunderstood, the Bible says we give honor to whom honor is due. There's no question about that. I don't think it's right for you to dishonor your pastor. I don't think it's right for you to dishonor your mother and dad. It's not right to dishonor God's men that they put over things. No, we respect and honor them. And if you know how to approach them right, that's an honor that God grants. Well, let me pass on. You know what I'm talking about. I believe the Lord wanted to, when He got the devil cleaned out, and this is what I'm wondering. I don't know whether I'm right or not, but I don't have much Bible, neither do you, so you guess as well as I on this one. If that was the choir of heaven, and he was kicked out, and Gabriel had his men doing their work, and Michael had his men doing their work, is there a choir in there now? No. Hallelujah, I'm glad, because I believe he's got choir practice every night right now, trying to find the choir again. He wants a choir that he can trust. He wants a choir that's going to sing a song the angels can't sing. It's going to be a choir practice every time you come to church. It's going to be a choir practice every time you come to the house of God. One of these days, the choir is going to go home. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We might not make it down here, but friend, we can make that one. I believe there's going to be a choir in heaven. Was it Fort Worth we had the conference of the prayer meeting? Somewhere. I believe it's something, Oklahoma City. Anyway, you know the prayer meeting we had. We haven't had one since then like that one. But, okay, the Spirit of the Lord moved in that general board room. You know, I don't know why you have so much trouble thinking that we always got to deal with some problems that we can't pray once in a while. Once in a while we forget about all of you. Say, we don't even think about you. We're in touch with the Lord. We feel His presence. We had the move of God in the house of the Lord there. Hallelujah. Don't call me carnal because I'm a superintendent. That's a big deal. It's knowing Jesus Christ that makes a difference. I want you to appreciate the fact these men pray. I saw the anointing of God come down that room. And Brother Sisko on the right, and the anointing came upon them as they ministered to us. And it was the general board that said, Brother Urshan, just throw everything aside. And I know we had resolutions. Bless God, we're so carnal that we'll always have resolutions. The more carnal we are, the more resolutions we're going to have. We're going to spit and spot tomorrow over these things. And some of those resolutions not worth a dime. No. It will not make you any more spiritual. And I might as well spit this one out. I won't be able to say it again. But that judicial procedure we've got is a bunch of scrambled eggs. It's a Gentile system trying to judge a spiritual church. Why don't we go back and get the peacemaker? Let's get the peacemaker. Come on, let's get Jesus in this thing. I'm so tired of folks saying, I'm going to appeal it. Well, appeal it then. Go on. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. Let me tell you, friend, we're in a suing age. But I'm just so tired of that stuff that I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. It's time we, as God's servants and God's people, we ought to obey what the Scripture says. Bless your heart. We ought to do it in Jesus' name. Quit fussing and quarreling and bickering and fighting. We don't need that in the house of God. That's not going on in heaven right now. No, there's no arguments in heaven. There's no judicial procedure in heaven. I can't do it tomorrow, but boy, I can sure do it now. We're not willing to be defrauded. We're not willing to take a wrong because we don't love Him enough. That's the truth. We don't trust one another because we don't love Him enough. We don't have faith in one another because we don't trust Him enough. Oh, God, give us a baptism of Holy Ghost love. Help us to love one another. Love one another. When we lose the fear of God, we develop the fear of man. You know, there's something about Jesus that He just knows how to do it. I believe if you want to know what heaven is like down here, just take a look at two brethren that get the problem fixed up. That's what heaven's like. It's the Father embracing the Son that broke all the rules. And the Son come back and made it right. He said, kill the fatted calf. I forgot all about what He did. Get the best robe on Him. No, He don't work back up in degrees. Put the robe on Him. Put the ring on His finger. Put the shoes on His feet. Amen. Now, this is going to hurt some theology, and it hurts mine too, but let me finish it tonight. You unravel it tomorrow. I do not believe that God can forgive until you repent. I do not believe we can restore a man unless he's repented. I don't believe you can give a man back what he's lost unless he acknowledges he's lost it. And the prodigal come back to the Father. Don't forget that. But what's beautiful in the heavens is the fact that it's a reunion. Nothing sweeter. I don't know if I understood this or not, and I may just get little pieces of it. I was going to ask Brother Langford, and I forgot to do it today. He told about going to the Wailing Wall and standing with a guide who was talking to him about a situation that's supposed to have happened. You might have heard it. And this dear old man was at the Wailing Wall because he and his son had had a quarrel some years before. And he took his little request to put it up in that little crack and pray that somehow God will help him and his son to come back. And while he went to put his in, he knocked one out. And he reached down and thought he'd better see what it said. And it was his son's wanting to come back to his dad. Let me tell you something. The sweetest experiences I can tell you about is when two people that had been on the outs made up. Come on. That's why you husband and wife do it so often. It feels good when you get it fixed. But I'm trying to explain something to you. If God wanted to show you what heaven's like, He'd have to show somebody coming to God right down here. And this man is coming to God. He's got such a terrible life behind him. But there's a Holy Ghost saint of God with his arm around him, praying for him and restoring him back to God. I want to go a little further. And I don't know how you will understand this. But I want to tell you. I don't believe you and I will live in this world without having some differences. Yes, we will. But make up your mind. I will not be offended. You say, well, I got hurt. So did he. Hurt is all right, so don't get offended. Hurt is okay until you get the disease in it. Now, sure, it's going to hurt. That's why you want to walk with him. But here's what I want to really drive this into our hearts. We should make up our mind the devil is not going to claim one of us, not one of us, that we're going to make sure that we get everything right with each other so we can go to heaven. I don't believe God intended for us that we shouldn't make it so that we can get things fixed up with us and God and with one another. I'd just like to have you to hear a little scripture that was a blessing to me. It's in Leviticus, the 6th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offerings. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night and until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garments and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offerings on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place. That was such a thrill to me when I saw that. I got some ashes from another bit ago. I hope I don't drop them. But look, what is ashes? It's the leftover residue of a fire, of trees, living creatures. It's an ashes. And he said the priest is going to take those ashes that has been left over from the all-night burning of a sacrifice. Now the garments of the priest is bloody from offering the sacrifice. And the fire has consumed the sacrifice, and the ashes is the residue that's left over from the sacrifice. Now he said, take those ashes out and set them down beside the altar. Now he said, go in there and take off those clothes, those garments you was using cutting meat. Change your garment and put on some linen. Righteousness. Hallelujah. He said, put on your best. Then you come out and pick up those ashes and you take them without the camp. Now let me draw a little parallel to you if you don't mind. What I like about it is after we've had a difference, we had to make a sacrifice. It burned all night. We might have burned for more than a night before we got together. And we begin to pray together. And finally the sacrifice, we made it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Oh, brother, help me. Help me. And the residue of the ashes was just all that was left. We forgave each other. We were happy. But somehow, we still had the memory. There's the ashes. You can smell it. You can taste it. Job said, I have wallowed in my ashes. You know what? You can go along and do the mechanics of making things right with one another. I'm sorry, but you've got a big pile of ashes right by your feet. I'm sorry. If I did wrong, I'm sorry. No. Ashes. Israel was made to eat ashes. Why do we wait so long to go to each other and take those ashes out? He said, take them out. Change my clothes. I got my best on now. You know what you got to do after you forgive somebody? Get the feeling out of there. Get all the feeling out of there. Get the stuff out of here, friend. Get it out of the house. I don't want to talk about it anymore. There it is. Come on. Take it. Take it on out. Get it out of sight. Get it away from us. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to smell it. We don't want to taste it no more. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Get the feeling out of the road. Get the spirit out of our hearts. Yes, sir. If you want to see what heaven's like, see that take place. That's really the difference. I wanted to show you something else. Smell that.
What is it? Gasoline.
What is it? What is that? This glass has had a little diesel dropped inside of it. It's clear. It's been washed out. But it's still there. Pour some water in there. Take a drink. Yuck. You taste it, man. You taste it. Let me tell you something. Until you get the ashes out, you're still tasting it. You're still tasting it. Till you get the ashes out, you're still thinking it. You're still feeling it. And here's the beauty of what I'm talking about. If you really want to see what heaven is like, Jesus forgave us and put it in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered against us no more. Oh, friend, that's what heaven is like. That's what heaven is like. That's what heaven is like. That's why I say to you and me, we shouldn't let the devil beat us around the bush. It makes heaven look better when we go and say, I want to get it right. I want to fix it up. I want everything clear. Yes, sir. We're going to save each other. We will never save each other if we don't help each other. Amen? I want to give you one more illustration and I'll close it. And I wanted to travel this course tonight for this reason. I believe that if we could take upon ourselves to ask God to help us to have a cleansing in such a beautiful way that we can make sure that we can feel His presence, talk with God, that when the next opportunity comes, that we can show what Jesus would do with the situation, go in there and do it with all your heart and see the Lord help you. I believe if you do that in your church, you know, the people are their best at conferences. They're the best places. They're shouting, they're worshiping, praise the Lord. But I know folks. I work with them. I live with them. I have them in the church. And you go to camp meeting, they're all over the place, in front rows, in advance, and every place else. But there's some things inside of them that's not right yet. And I've got to go back home and work on it. They get tired of my preaching. And I get tired of preaching. But you know something? Until you and me learn how to really take the preaching serious, we'll never really be saved. You're a pastor. You might have heard his voice for 20 years. Mine's heard mine for 41 years. And I've still got a few of my original members. They stayed with me. Some have come and gone. A lot of them have. But I want you to know something. There's only one thing that can save you. You better know who your pastor is, and you better listen. You'll never save yourself by yourself. And if you think you're going to pastor yourself and feed yourself, you've got a poor pastor on your hands. You've got to let a man of God help you to be saved. And if you don't humble yourself and walk with God with that man of God, you won't be saved by yourself. The Scripture said this, and rather than read it, I'll just give you the thought, and you know it, you got your Bibles. The Scripture said that we all run in a race, but only one gets a crown. Just one gets the crown. And I have, last camp meeting, Brother Davis did, Howard Davis preached a message that make this come clear to my mind. It's helped me ever since. I'm not running against you. You're not running against me. You see, there's no competition in heaven. Hey, did you think about no competition in heaven? They don't have a prize for the folks that bring the most to heaven. No competition. See, that's why it's going to be hard to have a ball game up there. How would you have a ball game in heaven? You're perfect. Nobody strikes out. Everybody wins. There's no opposition. Everybody prefers his brother. Go on, boy. You got the ball. Run to the goal line. You got it. No. Competition is earthly, carnal. That's right. There's no competition in heaven. Then why do we want some down here? The Bible said for the strong are the ones that's got more. Don't you provoke the people that don't have it. Don't try to show how much you're better and bigger and greater. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. That's the truth. If you get some of the competition out, you won't raise any money. We have to have some kind of carnal thing to get us to do the thing we ought to do without the whole carnal things. As long as you're on this earth, you're going to be competing. But in the house of God, there's no competition. The Bible said so. No striving in the house of God. We've had some of our biggest fusses over a contest. Who won it? Who called the strikes? I'm trying to help you to see what I'm talking about tonight. We have got so much of a social gospel that we have got to have an entertainment going on in our church to keep us all coming to the house of God. We're trying to make a bunch of folks that are so carnal and so ungodly in their living at home, and we're trying to make them call it be the church. It's time that the Holy Ghost help to cleanse the house. Cleanse the house! I believe the Holy Ghost wants to cleanse our houses. But I am competing with the world, the flesh, the devil. And he's the easiest one to win over. The flesh is the hardest. The reason it's hard is because the world makes it easy for the flesh. The world tells the flesh, you deserve that. After all, God made you that way. Oh, did he? Which God did that? The Lord said, the Pharisees, your father, the devil, made you a Pharisee. I have got to outrun the flesh, the world, and the devil. And only one of us is going to win. No. Just one. Either I do, or the world will, flesh, or the devil. But either one that overtakes me and captures me, I'm just as hell-bound as if all three did. The Holy Ghost is Jesus in my life to help me to run. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit. Now, you like to run, but when you get right down to it, you don't get very far of running if you can't run too long. You always wind up walking. 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 They say it's the best exercise anyway. Walking. Walking. I wish somebody could sing that song. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. I can hear his voice in my ear telling me that I am his own. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, you won't have a desire in your heart to lust after the flesh or after the spirit of this age. You see? That's how it works. But the race is on now. The flesh I was born with, I just repented of and got rid of all my garbage and got my life cleaned up. It's hardly no time until I'm feeling out. I discovered there is a flesh. Because all my life I've lived doing what I wanted to do. I've heard people tell me that I never knew what it was to fight my nature, my flesh, until I got the Holy Ghost. That's right. Because you served your God, and he was pleased the way you served him. But now it's changed. The Bible says what's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. I hate to tell you this, but those three enemies will always be there till the resurrection takes place. You may feel you've been chased and dogged, but let me tell you what, it's worth it if you stay in the race and win it. Brother Kilgore, your dad said one time in a meeting I heard him tell about fighting the devil. And he said, when I get to the pearly gates, I'm gonna go look around and swing out on the gate one more time and tell that devil, you chased me by your last mile and I won. Amen. The most difficult one is the lust of the flesh. Because if I walk with Jesus, he's the closest. Hear me. Yeah, Lord. Yes, yes. Oh, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Yeah, I do like that. You think it's okay? Nothing wrong with that? Is anything wrong with me going to the picture show? You know, I've gone all my life. What's wrong with that? Well, The Holy Ghost said, if you love the world, you can't love me. You know what happens? We let our flesh talk longer than the Holy Ghost does. We say, yes, I know. It's going to be a religious film. Oh, yeah. You know about Noah? Or about the, you know, well, no, oh, yeah, one about the Ten Commandments. Moses. You need to go see that. That's a religious film. Oh, yeah. Sure is. Played by a bunch of whoremongers. But the flesh loves that. After all, I'm starving myself. I want that. I know we do. That's why I got to get near enough to Him and tell me that if you lust after the flesh and you're carnal, you'll be lost. Oh, God. Now, how am I going to save myself? Get away from the flesh far enough that you can just hear Jesus all the time. And then go to the house of God and say, Pastor, preach to me. I mean, preach to me. I need some preaching to me. Don't tell me halfway between, lid on the line. Tell me that it's wrong or right, whatever it's going to be. That warfare goes on. I don't care if you're a preacher, if you're a saint or whoever you are, you're Saint Paul or whoever. You still have to war against the flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit, a spirit against the flesh. You better start learning how to walk with Jesus Christ strong enough and powerful enough that the flesh can't outtalk you. Now let me show you something. Everything the flesh loves can't go to heaven. Can't go to heaven. And wait a minute. And it won't go to hell. There's no movies in hell. The devil won't run none up there, down there. There's no alcohol in hell. There's no gambling in hell. There's no fornicating in hell. There's no evil in hell that's going to save you from your problem. So whatever you give up to serve Jesus Christ, the man that didn't do it is going to give up to go to hell. Come on. I like to have some good old hellfire brimstone kind of preaching that tells you that your flesh will drive you into the war, into the hell itself. Hell won't have no cigarette machines. It won't have no dope addicts passing dope around. I'm here to tell you it's time we wake up and realize I'd better listen to my Savior and let the devil be a liar. The flesh is a liar. Crucify the flesh. War against your flesh. One's going to win. One's going to lose. I have my most problem with this right here, because it lusts for the world. And the devil eggs them both on. He's too strict in that church. Who said? What do you mean? Now, I'm going to travel a little road a little bit here, and I'm going to just go by my experience. It may not be yours, but you can take a good lesson off of it. The lust of the flesh is just as strong in our young people that's raised in Pentecost as it is those outside. Don't think because you're a little girl has been raised in a Christian home that she's going to be safe with a Christian boy in a car at 12 o'clock at night. I know they were in the altar tonight. They left here. They're good. Yeah, I know they're good. I know that. That's why I want to keep them good. They don't need to be by themselves. They don't need to be in a car like that by themselves. Don't you trust us? No, I don't. 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 I don't trust you. Your flesh or mine, nobody else's. No, sir. Don't talk to me like that. I've helped to dig up some wrecks. I've seen some beautiful young people that came back home and was sorry for the rest of their life. I've saw some good young people that were in an altar but played a fool and lived their life the rest of their days with heartache and reproach and felt like the life cheated them out of everything. Oh, friend of mine, it's time you tell our young people, don't let the flesh and the devil lure you into positions for you to lose your soul. United Pentecostal Church, I want you to hear what I'm saying. If we don't keep our young people clean, if we don't keep ourselves clean, we can shout in the church all we want, but we'll never get the glory. There's no whoremongers in heaven. There's no adulterers in heaven. There's no fornicators in heaven. There's no evil people in heaven. It's time we wake up and realize you're going to be lost without God if you cheat. And you only cheat yourself. It is a heartache to see somebody that had been used of God to fall. You have never heard the wail of a person that wakes up after that one time and finds out what's happened. The first thing that happens in the Scriptures that starts listing the things that won't go to heaven, the first thing that's listed is adultery and fornication. I want you to hear what I'm telling you. I hate to say it this way, but this is us. And if you get offended, I'll have to help you pray. There's too much of that among us now. I've got too much that's happening in my own church now. I'm not bragging on nothing. I'm just telling you we're living a wicked age. Nobody can take it for granted. Nobody can walk along and say, sweet, sweet, sweet. Let me tell you what. These things that I'm talking about, there's loose devils today, lustful devils, perverted devils that want to get your young people contaminated. And young people, wake up and realize your body is not to be misused. Your body is sacred. Your body is a holy temple unto the living God. It doesn't belong to the flesh. It doesn't belong to the world. It belongs to the Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost, fill us with your Spirit.